Why don't we stand up? Let's welcome Mike Poulin. Yay, Mr. Mike. Are you going to be down here? Okay. Very, very good. By the way, remember what color his hair is. His hair is not gray. Do you remember what it is? It's Arctic Frost.
No, Arctic Blonde.
Oh, Arctic Blonde. Yeah. I'm sorry, Arctic Blonde. Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy New Day. It is so good to be. I'm still kind of lost here in the time of worship. I'm still kind of coming out that whateverness. Did you hear that word, whateverness, this morning? That's a great word, whateverness. I've been there. I think it's somewhere around the wilderness. It's the whateverness conditions. They really do. I just appreciate the Lord this morning, His presence and conditions. You overcame the conditions this morning and made your way here. It reminded me, that's right, we're Canadians. Come on. What's a little snow? Come on. We're not afraid of snow. The only snow we back off is the yellow snow. I can't believe I said that. But it's a good tip. It's a good tip. We're going to learn all kinds of things today. Amen. I was just reminded of a story. Years ago, I heard Federal Express used to have a program where they would reward the most creative employee of the year. Nothing could move these things, and it's huge and heavy. And that's where you put your package, and they come by at 4 o'clock every day to pick it up. One of the guys, the truck drivers, came up to it at 4 o'clock and put his key in and turned it, and the key broke. And he's like, oh man, he can't open it. Is there a package in there? Oh man, we deliver every day. We pick up at 4 o'clock. So the guy backed his truck up and got people to help him and loaded up the whole concrete thing into it in case there was a package in there. And he came driving up to the plant and he backed up and he opened the door and they went, what is this? And he said, key broke in it. And they opened it and there was a package in it. And they gave him a $25,000 bonus for overcoming the conditions. There are rewards for overcoming the conditions. And I believe with all my heart that the conditions of in our generation, now this is you and I right here, right now, the conditions are becoming just perfect for an incredible move of God like we haven't seen or imagined or thought of. You know, you never see someone like, how many of you saw this guy that just won $190 million? Did you see this guy there's a guy in Washington who just won a lottery of $190 million. They had a check for him for $190 million, right? And you never see those guys, you know, whether it's $10 million, $100 million, $50 million, they get up and say, well, all right, now that I've got all this money, all I need is the Lord. Right? You never see that happen. You know, this guy was so funny. He said, well, what are you going to do with it? He said, well, I've been married for 42 years. He was holding this check, this big check. He said, I've been married for 42 years. I'm going to do what I've always done with my money. And he gave it to his wife. But people never get to that place and say, now I need to turn to the Lord. That's all I'm missing is I need to turn to the Lord. What happens to us most of the time? We turn to the Lord when things break down in our lives. When we get to a place, and we've all had that experience, haven't we? Where you're just done. You're just finished. You know that you're empty, that unless something incredible happens, you're fried. You're done. What is going to happen? And then we get touched by God's love. And we were in worship this morning. I was thinking, man, if people could only get around God's love. It was never His design for us to have to go down to nothing. He is there all the time. And I believe that He's about to move in the world because He comes around even more. When the darkness is the darkest, the light shines the brightest. And you and I are those lights. We're His plan. And He comes through us, showing His love and what He's like. It's an exciting time to be in, and that's what it's all about. It's about, Loretta's simply reminding us of the character of God and the ways of God, and keeping it going in our lives all the time, all the time. How many of you have ever bought a brand new car? Yeah, I remember I bought a brand new car. This was way back. Remember when Challenger blew up? You don't remember that? I lived in Houston. I pastored in Houston at the time, and I drove off the parking lot with a brand new car, put on the radio, and it came on the news that the Challenger had blown up. But how many of you know that, you know, you get that car and it's like, oh yeah, that, ooh, I've never seen a car. Ooh, that's nice. Oh yeah, ooh, I like that. Ooh, ooh, I like that. Ooh, that color. I like that color. Oh yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, it smells good in here too. Oh, I like that. Oh, all right, okay. All right, okay, I'll buy it. Okay, I'll get it. Then you get out there and you don't go like 10 blocks. There's one just like yours. There's another one. There's another one. You start to see that car everywhere. You're, man, how many of these did they make? And it's like Pastor Steve was saying this morning. Once you get into the rhythm of a round table and you're seeing a principle every week, you start seeing it everywhere. And you start hearing it everywhere. And you start, more you give yourself to the homework, the more you give yourself to the homework, the more you become valuable, the more in tune you are. It's like what Jerry was saying last night. It is what God's doing. God always, when everything's not working, He comes and gets a man or a woman. And He begins to move through them. And right now, things are breaking down in society. And they're breaking down in your office. And they're breaking down in your plant. And they're breaking down in families. And they're breaking down in neighborhoods. And God has us there at this time. And so it's an important work that we're doing. Amen? And it's a great call that's on our lives. So how many of you have been in round tables? Let me see your hands real high. Let me, you've been in round tables for 10 weeks now. How many of you remember the principle of direction? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Remember that? Remember conflict? We heard about conflict this morning. Remember criticism? Criticism? Confrontation? A soft answer turns away wrath. But yelling stirs up strife. How many of you remember that? Morality? Huh? Good citizens cause a city to prosper. We love our city by becoming who God made us to be. And when we do that, we're loving our city. We're loving our city when we're doing our job, whether it's packing things in a plant, whatever it is that we're doing. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you're a street sweeper, it ought to be the cleanest street in the world, because you believe in God and you're there and you're doing it. How many of you remember correction? That's always a fun one, isn't it? Huh? Hurts for a while, but there's a blessing to it. Pressure. Anybody remember pressure? Huh? I'm remembering you. You remember your homework? Judgment? Don't we have a lot of those? Huh? Any story sounds good at first, but there's always the other side. There's always the other side. Forgiveness. Offenses are overcome by mercy. Amen? And truth. And ownership. The rich rule over the poor. We need the truth of God right now. And the borrower is slave to the lender. But I'm telling you right now, poor people are never going to get you a job. It's rich people. It's people that go ahead and believe. And rich people, most of the people that are rich didn't get their money handed to them. They worked hard to get it. It's a huge thing right now. huge spirit of coming against. But I'm telling you, look in the scriptures. Abraham was not poor. David was not poor. Solomon was not poor. But they made a difference and bring a lot of people with them. So we're going to take about 10 minutes right now. I'm going to give you an opportunity if we can get another mic going. And we would like to hear some of the results of your homework. And so think about one of those principles. One principle that was a real challenge to you, like Pastor was sharing this morning about confrontation. It stayed alive. Give me about three or four people right now. Real quick. There's one. Come on. Give me two. Come on. That's what I love. Come on. Come on. How many more? Two more. Two more. Two more. Three. Come on. Four. Where's my four? Come on. Come on. All right. So which principle did you?
The principle of pressure. Right now I'm out of work and I'm cold calling companies, doing networking. And principles and the benefits out of pressure is you have to make things, you have to do things and you have to make them done. So you have to be proactive. Yeah. And the issue is not to be stressed out, but to be proactive. So yeah. I believe that has really, really worked in my life. So I'm still looking and I'm keeping very active. So I use that in the morning just as a motivator. Amen. Every morning, basically, when I start cold calling companies. And I've had more interviews. I've had more open doors. So that has been great.
Hey, man, he doesn't sound like a guy out of work, does he? Huh? Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Which principle?
Forgiveness. But yesterday I was put on the spot, but today I have a story to share.
Come on. We
so,
want to hear it.
A colleague at work, he's a 60-year-old old hippie, not a godly man, but a very prominent man in the company and a friend of mine at work. We're at a work function and we just kind of were having a heart-to-heart. I think I was sharing about my dad and forgiveness, and this was early on, like in October. And he said to me, he kind of opened up and said, you know, I kind of feel jealous because my wife, Laura, has such a good relationship with my kids. He has four kids. And they just don't come to me. They don't talk to me about stuff. I just feel like it's kind of like, and I'm like thinking, yeah, I know what you mean. So anyway, I said, can I give you some advice? You know, you're like my mentor. And he's like, sure. And I said, have you thought about asking your kids for forgiveness? Like, I'm not saying, maybe you don't know. Maybe you did something years ago and you've built this wall. And he just was like he's a very enthusiastic kind of character. And he just went, like a light bulb went on. And he was like, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. And I was like, cool. Okay. So a few weeks went by and I asked him, so did you have a chance to mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. have this conversation? He said, yeah, but nothing really came of it. But he said, but you know what? And he only had a chance to have that conversation with one kid because his kids live all over the world. Mm-hmm. And he said, but since then, we've met three times and the conversations are just, they're better, they're deeper. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. Amen. So it gives me hope that
now,
I can plant seeds.
He's not a Christian that you know of. He's not a Christian.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
Now, how many of you see what happens here, how... Cindy, right?
No. Jody.
Jody. How Jody's value has gone up in this individual's life.
That's right.
Right? Her value has gone up. Now, she doesn't have to preach at him or anything. She just has to continue to stay in those principles. There's going to be more opportunity, and her value will keep going up. And who came up with forgiveness in the first place? You can't be around forgiveness too long without running into God, can you? And God takes care of that. And I think it's really important that we understand that and that we trust the Holy Spirit. We trust the Holy Spirit. He is at work 24 hours. When we're sleeping, He's at work.
That's right.
And He's working things and He's creating divine appointments and He's doing all. We don't have to be in charge of everything. We're just in charge of the moment. When we're sitting at work having coffee and the conversation rolls around and we start sharing about forgiveness in our own life and people open up. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's powerful. Go ahead.
Yeah, mine was
give her a hand.
Mine was on conflict. So the day after we had that session, I had a huge argument with my really close friend. Priscilla Alida gave us an assignment to do. Her router wasn't working, so she had to go drop off somebody else. And she said, you two try and figure it out. If you had to call their company, do. And I don't know what happened, but we were screaming at each other. And at the end of it all, we both sat there and said, what were we really arguing about? And since that time, we've been more open with each other. We forgave right away, and we just hugged each other afterwards. So.
That's awesome. Give her a hand. Thank you so much. Football.
I don't know where everybody wants to tackle me. One of these days, I'm going to push back. By the way, my story is similar to Jody's in terms of forgiveness. The Lord has really helped me in that area for myself. I don't have a problem. I'm very quick to forgive. But I have a 19-year-old son, and I just noticed he was very angry. Like, every time you tried to talk to him, his answers were very tart, very sharp. I noticed he was very disrespectful toward his mom. And I couldn't figure out what the problem was, but I said to myself, I don't want my son carrying unforgiveness. So I went to my son, I said, you know, we need to talk. And I said, you know, we haven't had this kind of talk before, but I said, you know, as a father, I'm sure I've let you down. I'm sure there's some things that I missed it on. And, you know, and you know what, I'm really sorry. I need you to forgive me. I wanted him to express that. I wanted him to say, I forgive you. And he said that. But the thing that was interesting, before he went off to school, Ken had given him a brand new Bible. And I noticed when he left, the Bible was still there. He didn't take it. I didn't say anything. But after our conversation, the Bible was gone.
Hey, come on.
Not only was the Bible gone, when I went down to visit him, he texted me 3 times. He said, don't forget to bring me a copy of your book.
Oh, man.
He's never asked me. He's never read it. But this came from him.
Amen.
And every time he calls, he always says, I love you.
Amen.
Always. So,
amen.
So this forgiveness thing, it's really powerful. And sometimes it's not somebody forgiving you, it's you asking somebody, please forgive me. And having them communicate that, it really frees them and set them free, especially
Amen.
For your children.
Amen. Give them a hand. Thank you. Someone else that you had your specific homework that you did, and you went and did that act, and tell us what happened off of that. One or two more stories of, raise your hand. One or two more. You did a, yes. We'll wait. A discussion you had, come on.
I remember we had done a talk in my group, and we did the restraint one. And again, it was a proactive, reactive. And so I was so happy that day because I sat down with this girl, and generally she reacts rather than proact. And she usually goes off on a tangent. And it was amazing. I said, you remember when we did the restraint, the proactive thing? And so we had this really good discussion. And so she actually went before the Lord, and she decided to proact instead of react. And it was amazing. I mean, things turned out really well. Communication was really clear between her peers. And it just worked out really well. So
that's awesome. Oh, yeah, with the dry cleaner guy.
Last time we were here, Carol Arnott stood up. Remember, we went through forgiveness as a group, and she said that she had to go into a store where she had been really, I can't remember what the proper adjective would be, but...
In need of forgiveness.
In need of forgiveness, yes. And so she wrote down, or she told us she was going to go back to that store and ask the person, the clerk that she'd been rude to say, would you forgive me? So she phoned us. We were in our car, and so we have like these Bluetooth things. So anytime the phone rings, it's on speaker, so everyone in the car. So it's Sandra and I are both hearing her, and she's outside the shop, and she phoned us to say, pray for me. I'm going to go in right now. And she went in. The guy did remember her. And she said, would you forgive me for my attitude? And she said, I really like this store, and I'd like to be able to shop in here in peace. And so he forgave her and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And now she's free to shop. And that's a big deal for Carol. Be free to shop.
Amen. That's what happens with when you get in your company or you get wherever you begin a round table is you begin to create an atmosphere that will create more talk. So it's not just the 1 hour, but by sowing that seed of a principle of God, sowing that seed, now the rest of the week, restraint will come up or forgiveness will come up because that's the kind of things we deal with every day. Thank you. One more after this. You did a specific act that you did. You went out and did it, and tell us what happened. Come on, sister. Come on.
My issue is confrontation. Well, I've got lots of issues, but
today's issue.
That was the issue that really spoke to me, and I don't know if anybody relates to this. I run a company, and you know, I have lots of people in the company, and so on and so forth. But my particular thing is I tend to avoid confrontation. I just tend to avoid. I don't like to do it. I have to do it by virtue of my responsibilities, but I tend to avoid it. So after we did this session, I decide each day, I don't know if you're like me, but I have a task list that flips up in my Outlook every day, all these things, planning in my life. And so what I decided to do was every single task that involved confrontation, I put that at the top. I just went out and did that first. And it was really quite amazing because what I find is I tend to be a procrastinator on things that involve confrontation, right? So they just kind of float to the bottom of the task list, carry over the next day, and it's just kind of sludged in the background. So I just found by deciding the hardest thing to do, which is typically confrontation for me, was the thing I'll do first, and down the list, the days went a lot better.
And how did you feel inside?
I felt much better because on the inside, I think there's a lot of stuff going on relating to confrontation, not wanting to take things up with people, and I think that's kind of slushing around on the inside and getting in the way of your effectiveness and feeling good about yourself. Yeah. Well, that's okay. Well, that's a different thing, but this is yeah, one of my the guys I work with, we were in England together on business, and I shared the Lord with him. He's one person that I haven't really had opportunity to spend much time with. He's a senior guy in our company, actually. And, you know, over the course of dinner, one of the things he said was, well, why does God even care? He's kind of a lapsed Catholic. Why does God care? And so, you know, I said God's love and so on and so forth. So out of that, I gave him a copy of The Purpose-Driven Life. And so he and I said, read this for the next, 40 days, right? So he's doing that. I say, how's it going? He says, boy, that's very timely. You know, I didn't quite know what that meant, but it was speaking to him. And Mary and I have been praying for him and his wife for some time. In any event, what happened was just before Christmas, he comes into my office all excited. He says, can I see you? And I said, no. Because I was on a conference call. I said, come back in a few minutes. He says, this is personal. So he comes back, closes the door, and he said, this was a Monday morning. He said, on Saturday night, I was just lying quietly in bed with my wife. We were just kind of, and all of a sudden, the room was, like he started using language he'd never used, right? I mean, he hasn't darkened the door of a church in decades. And he said, I was just aware of the presence of God and the love of God. And it was mesmerizing. It was literally, he said, there was light in the room. I felt warm all over. And he said, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. It was like, and I related to this because this was kind of how the Lord, you know, confronted me one day about 30 years ago. So I really related to this. And then apparently the next day, though, they're going about their chores. This is now the Sunday. And sometime late in the day, his wife, Sylvia, says to him, he says, Richard, did anything happen last night? And so he told her, and the identical thing happened to her at the exact same time.
Wow.
So they're both just swept into the kingdom, right? Mm. So now he's serving the Lord.
Hey, well, I just feel to do this. I just feel. I think it'd be good for us to pray for this brother. I just feel like there's just a new level of influence coming on you. There's a new language that will pierce through.
because God has you in so many places of influence. And there is no pattern. It's a new thing coming on you. It's not a pattern from books or from, it's from the presence of God. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your first name again.
Garth.
For Garth, Lord. We thank you for Garth and the way that you've brought him up. Lord, you have brought him up. You're the one that even as a child, you were protecting him. You were protecting him. You were opening doors for him. You created appointments for him. You gave him favor. And that favor and all of those things are coming to fruition at this time in your purpose. And so, Lord, we thank you. We pray that influence. We pray we impart that influence. Supernatural influence. Words that come from the throne that set people free to see the living God. The living God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Sarah?
Yeah. So we did in our cell group on direction. And Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, in all your ways, encourage him, and he will direct your path. So after we discussed together and pray, really we didn't understand what direction means. It's important, but we didn't know. And God spoke to us and helped us to understand and gave us, each one of us, his understanding. So we are so grateful for that.
Amen. Amen. Give her a hand. Praise God. Well, today is an important day. We want to make sure that as you look to loving the city, that all of the things that you're going to do, part of it will be this strategy of roundtables and going now out of the walls of the church and looking for God to open doors. And so today we want to, the training is mainly around facilitating so that you will, after last night, how many of you know, do you understand that this is not based on how bright you are. It's not based on how good you are. This is based on what God is doing and the grace and love that is poured out towards us that we can hook in and be part of. And so God wants to favor each one of us. Each one of us. He's got us where we are. I don't know if I shared this. How many of you, where your present job, everybody, yet you're working somewhere, raise your hand, where you're working somewhere, you're somewhere working in this city, all right? Do you remember the day that you got your job? Remember the day that they said you're hired? Remember how happy you were? Were you that happy yesterday morning when you went to work? Yeah. How many of you know that's not always the case? But I believe God wants us to be even more than we were that first day. Because now we're going to see more purpose and we're going to become more valuable.